Come on, everybody. Good morning to you. Man, I might just dance on that. That's a bumper, man. Let's go. Let's go. Worship team, great job this morning. Great job this morning. Come on, aren't they doing a great job, everybody? Man, so good, man. So good. It was really refreshed during worship today. Man, we're coming off of Serve Day. It's also our first week in our brand new summer series that we're calling Summer here at Elevate City today. So excited for that. But before we just kind of get into a few things, look at the person next to you and let them know. Say, I'm so glad you got to sit next to me today. Come on, let them know. Let them know. So glad. So glad you got to sit next to me. Man, we're so thankful for all those watching online. We love you guys. Come on, church family. Can we give it up for our online family as well today? Amen. Well, we had our Serve Day yesterday, and it was a powerful, powerful time. And I'll give you a couple details about that. But before I do, let's take a look at yesterday. Come on, check us out.
Just the entirety of this day just represents exactly what Jesus said for us to do, to be salt, to be light, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And one of the greatest ways that we can spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is by showing the love of God. So that's exactly what we're doing today and throughout all of our teams in our cities. So we're just so excited for what God's going to do, the opportunities that He's placed in front of us. We just need the hands and feet of Jesus. So we love you guys. You're the best. Let's go get it.
Doing whatever she needs done outside. And serving as a church means a lot to the community around us because so many times in culture, Christianity gets misrepresented. So when we can come to the front and just share Jesus' love and serve with our whole hearts, that really shows the community what the church means and what we're out here to do. And that just opens their hearts and their minds more to the mission of Jesus.
City Church, thank you all so much for supporting us today and coming out and serving with us. We served 17 projects. We painted. We did a lot of yard work, a lot of cleanup from a lot of the storms that we had this winter. We cleaned up yards and just blessed people in the inner city of Fort Wayne who just really needed somebody to bless them. A special shout out for NeighborLink for supplying our truck and all of the tools that we use today. Thank you all so much for partnering with us.
Come on, somebody give God a hand. It was awesome, man. We had 17 different projects that happened around the city, and it was phenomenal. We love Serve Day. We love doing this, and so I'm going to give you some details even later how you can get connected and being a part of that, because we do it every third Saturday, and so I'm going to give you some more details because it's kind of part of my message today. But so proud of all of our teams, and man, it's great to see our kids out there serving with us, and that's one of the joys, honestly, of yesterday is, you know, for Bethany and I, that we always look at that and just our kids serving with us. And so, and great to see just all the students and kids out there yesterday too. It was phenomenal. And so if you missed it, man, you missed it, but there's some other cool opportunities coming up this summer that you and your family can be a part of. We'll give you some dates on that today so you can plan in advance to be with us. Our team power washed a home, a woman that was 86 years of age. Her name is Rosemary, and Rosemary, probably one of the sweetest women I've just ever had the opportunity to meet, and so we power washed her home, cleaned her gutters, and we had just a great time. But You know, a lot of people are just looking, man, they just are open more than what we realize. I'm going to show you some stats today that are really backing this up, that are really open to spiritual things more than what we realize. And so we just had an incredible opportunity to minister to her. I heard of one story just of one of our teams that did some work at one of the homes, and a gentleman that was just in some tough physical condition afterwards just told our team that because of what he was impacted by in the service of our team, that he says, you know what, I do believe there actually might be a God out there that does love me because of the way you guys cared for me today. Come on, that's what it's all about. It's about the one, amen? It's all about the one. And so we exist for the one. And so I'll never forget one of the stories last year. We were talking, reminiscing about this story on the way home, on the way back to the church yesterday, our team. And one of our serve teams that were out last year served a elderly woman. And all in the same year, she had lost her husband. And then within a couple months apart, lost her husband to a disease. Then her son was murdered. And then her grandson was murdered. And all within a year's time. And she said the day that we came out last year provided just hope for her. And how many know, one of our team members said this to me yesterday. They said, man, Pastor, you just don't realize, I guess, what's going on 20 to 25 minutes away from us. And I said, you're absolutely right. It's a whole nother really avenue of what's happening in the world right here at Fort Wayne, which is why we are called to be salt and light and to get out of these four walls and to go into our community and to show the love of Jesus. Can somebody say a good amen? Amen. So I want to read this story to you. This came actually just from one of our small groups. This was emailed to me this week. I thought, man, what a great opportune time to share this with you all. And again, we have different outreach groups that are small groups as well. So we have our third Saturday serve that serves, but then we also have a lot of different outreach groups, which is, again, why I love this church, because we don't just sit in our four walls and just, you know, put our hands together on a Sunday, but man, we're living life with a mission through the week as well and touching the lives of people. That's what it's, everybody shout, that's church. So listen to this. This is Amy James and her group. And it says this, dear Amy and the Elevate City Church Meal Group. This is from the Christine Miller, the Development Communications Coordinator from the Ronald McDonald House. Listen to this. She said, Cindy, who was one of the families that was impacted recently, was overwhelmed to tears that in addition to everything else provided for her in the Ronald McDonald House, which is at Parkview North, for those that don't know, incredible, incredible just thing that they do for families with kids that are in the hospital. We benefited from that as well. Someone cared enough to provide her a meal. Thank you so much for being one of our caring, kindest kitchen partners who choose to bless the families who stay here at the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Northeast Indiana with a delicious homemade meal last night. Your meal of pasta, garlic bread, dessert fed over 20 people. As a kindest kitchen meal partner, you not only provided nourishment for families tired bodies, but also comfort and rest for their weary souls. Your kindness has done more for our families than you will ever know. Listen to this. Additionally, you have also helped our Kindness Kitchen program increase both meals provided and people served by 200% over the last year. And in bold and capitalized, we couldn't have done this without you. Thank you for turning, listen to this, our house into a home. We are so overwhelmed by your generosity, Elevate City, our small group. Isn't that awesome? It's great. So that's really what, man, we're getting into this summer. It's all about it. And, you know, I want to encourage you, grab your message notes because we're going to go somewhere today. And I've been a while since I preached to you. All right. So good to be back up here with you. And hopefully you missed me a little bit. All right. And so good to be back with you. But I want to start off in a verse in Acts chapter 1:8 and really looking forward to what God has for this summer. A lot of great things happening around our church. We started our summer internship just this week with our students, and it was amazing. I'm telling you what, man, just when I was in my office, I can hear them doing their thing, and man, it just brought great joy to my heart. So thankful for Pastor Kyle and Anna Sadler, who are helping to lead that, doing a phenomenal job, and Anna really taking the baton on and running with it, and a phenomenal first start to our week, and just seeing our students rising up in their giftedness and what God has placed within them to do, I love it. And so I just want to help us this summer to avoid the summer slump. Here's what I know, that there can be a lot of vacationing, which is good during the summer, but if we're not careful, we can take spiritual vacations as well. So I want to help us to avoid taking spiritual vacations. Everybody say, come on, help me, all right? And so Acts chapter 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Witnesses are people that have a story to tell. Witnesses are people that have been impacted by the power of God. Is there anybody in Elevate City today that says, man, I've been impacted by the love and power of God in my life, all right? And so therefore, if you have been, amen, if you have been, God has called you and I to be a witness. And so he says, I want you to be a witness in Jerusalem. And so, well, I can't get there overnight, Pastor. Well, here's the deal. Jerusalem represents our city, all right? It represents Fort Wayne. Then God said, I want you to go into your cities. Then I want you to go into Judea and Samaria. So I want you to take it to the nation. I want you to go into the United States and be a witness of my love to the nation. And then I want you to go to the global world and make a difference. And we saw a little bit of that last week, how we're doing that with Destiny Rescue. And we've got another partner that's coming in August with us. One of our partners with, it's called Voice of Judah, Israel, that we give into. And Pastor Israel Poktar, that'll be with us from the nation of Israel. I'm excited about that and how we're impacting Israel as well. And then Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 through 16, it says, you are the world's light, a city on a hill, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light. Everybody shout, let it shine.
Let it shine.
Man, I used to sing that song when I was a kid, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Anybody remember that growing up? Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. All right. Let it shine for all. Let your good deeds glow for all to see. And here's what that was. That's a great picture of what we saw yesterday, is our good deeds were glowing for all to see. And so a result of doing good deeds and of doing good works in our community and not just being a church that sits on a Sunday and then doesn't do anything else with it. No, we're providing just all kinds of ways to care for people in our community. And it says, allow those good deeds to glow. And the result of doing good deeds is people will praise your God. People will ask questions about your God. And then you get the awesome opportunity of saying, man, let me tell you how cool my God is. Let me tell you what he's done in my life. And so they will praise your heavenly Father. And I think what's interesting is we're in a time that people are really more open to spiritual things that maybe we've ever seen. And a lot of people just, I think sometimes there's this myth out there that people are really closed-minded when it comes to spiritual things. And honestly, that is far from the truth. Let me share a couple things with you, because it's polls are showing that the interest in God is really increasing more than it is decreasing. A secular poll that was done out of Gallup shows that 65 million Americans have currently no church home. Now listen to this. A little over half, 34 million, said that they would go to church if someone would just invite them. Think about the power of an invitation. Think about how one invite can change a life. So it goes to show you that people are more open to the things of God than maybe you and I realize. And then the same poll in this Gallup poll shows that among teenagers would rather talk about God and spirituality than sex, drugs, or music. So our students are more open to the things of God than I think maybe even what many think. And so that's why the Bible gives us an incredible commission here in 1 Corinthians 14, love, that above all else, make love your greatest aim. Make love your greatest aim. You know, we see a lot of deterioration, corruption in our world today, but can I just tell you today that the answer and the medicine to a sick and dying world is the love of Jesus Christ. That's what this world needs, is the love of God. And so you and I just have to make a decision in our life that no matter what happens to us, no matter what's said about us, no matter what negativity comes our way, no matter the disrespect that happens, that our knee-jerk reaction in all things, well, we will continue to be a people of love. And we will continue to show the love of Jesus to the world. Amen? I just believe this, that life is 10% of actually what happens to you and really 90% of how you react to it. All right, and so you and I have got to react well, and you and I will get tested. And I tell you, one of the greatest things that you and I will get tested with is just with the power of your tongue. Yeah, and I think that just being able to know to speak life and to continue to respond in a place of love. Romans 12:11 says this: to never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord, or keep your spiritual passion. I love the word passion. The definition of passion is just an object of desire, to have zeal, to have a deep interest in something, to have that fervor that Scripture talks about, to have enthusiasm. To me, not having a heart or a passion for something is really a life that has no meaning. And I pray today that more than anything, that you leave this place with some passion and a call and some things that are stirred within your heart. Maybe you found yourself just getting caught up with life and caught up with everything else that's going on, that it's easy sometimes as the whirlwind of life hits us, and it's a reality that we can easily lose sight and focus on the main thing and the important things that God has for us to do. And so God is calling us constantly to a place of staying focused on what He wants for us to do and doing it His way in His mission. And that's what the church is all about. The church is all about compassion and showing the love of Jesus to many people and as many as we can possibly reach. I love just a definition. This is not the definition, but I love to see the church this way, that the church is where really the sacrificial spirit of volunteers and givers and teams enable people to experience the presence of God. It's where the dream teamers on a Sunday morning, really every single person that's serving has made a decision within their heart that I'm not living for me, that I'm not coming to church to live for me, but I realize that church is an opportunity to reach many people for the glory of God, because each and every weekend people are coming in this place for the very first time. Amen, everybody. And so that we have an understanding that when we're serving in our teams, that it's not a duty, it's a call. It's not a job, it's a calling that God is placed within our life, and the responsibility that you and I have to steward the gift, steward the call, is incredibly important. And so I'm going to give you a few things that I think is just a good reminder of what we need to have a heart for. And that's really what my title of my message is today, is the having a heart for what matters. Number one is this: you and I have to have a heart for God. Everybody say, have a heart for God. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 32, says, only people who don't know God are always worrying about such things. But your Father in heaven knows that you need all these. But more than anything, watch this, put God's work first and do what He wants. Watch this. And then the other things will be yours as well. A lot of times we get real frustrated in our life. Well, God's not blessing me like I think He should. Or things aren't moving in the trajectory that I think it should. Well, could it be first that maybe God's not in first place in our life? I think one of the greatest struggles that we have in American Christianity today is that we compartmentalize God, that we have our life, we have our career, we have our family, we have sports, we have hobbies, and then God and church are somewhere in the mix. And I'm just telling you, God is He is not interested in your list. He wants to be the first and foremost priority in your life. And I'm just telling you, if you and I are in a place that God is just where we're trying to search for where He's at on the list, can I just tell you, He's not on the list at all. And if you want to see God's blessings and you want to see things happen in your life, God is saying this: I've got to be first in your life. I'm not interested in being an afterthought. Think about the price that He paid over 2,000 years ago. How many know He deserves to always place number one in our life? Amen, everybody? And so we've just got to continually check our hearts at times. And Scripture is always telling us and reminding us to check our heart and check our motives, all right? Because it's very, very important to God. But to realize, man, if God's not first, maybe the reason why I haven't seen some of these prayers answered is because I've got some things out of whack and I need to bring some order back in my life again. All right? And so I want to encourage you with that. And again, as you put Him first, then, the Bible says, then things will be yours as well. And so we have to be passionate about the things that He's passionate about. And we have to value what God values. God owns it all, and you are a manager of everything. And you have to remember this. Scripture tells us if you and I can't be faithful with what He's put in our hand today, whether it's finances, whether it's your job, whether it's stewarding, you know, time well with your family, resources, if we can't be faithful with what He's blessed us with today, how can God really trust us with more? And so the calling is being faithful with what he's blessed you with today. Amen? And so Mark chapter 12 says it this way. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. And he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. You know, in the Old Testament, there's a lot of laws and rules and regulations. And there'd be some Christians, even today, that's notorious for picking and choosing which one they like. And then they try to push or dump those on a few other people. And so that's where we have man-made religion. But Jesus summed everything up in this, and he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to live a life of passion, of loving me and loving people. That's what I want your focus to be. I don't want your focus to be anything else, because if you love me, you'll love people. And then another scripture says, Jesus said this, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. If you love me, you'll do what I have given you in the commands that he has. So it becomes a desire, becomes a want to, instead of, man, I have to do this. And if I don't do this, I'm in some kind of trouble. And again, that's a religious picture of God. God has always been a God of incredible, merciful love. And so as we do that, how many know that we've got to continue to give that same love away to people? Amen? And so I love this, because we need to love God and not be a people of judgment and being critical. We need to love God and love people. Come on, we need to especially love people even when people don't do things the way you like them. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? It can get real frustrating real quick, all right? But we are to be witnesses. Everybody shout, I'm a witness. And we're called to be salt, and we're called to be light to people. Here's the second thing. We've got to have a heart for God, and you've got to have a heart for people. I loved yesterday, and that's why I love Serve Day. I love the different small groups that we do and the outreach groups that we do, because it is an absolute compassion that many have in this church to go lead groups beyond themselves and find a need and fill it, find a hurt and heal it. That's the motto of our Dream Center, is that's continuing to move forward as well. But man, having a heart for people is everything. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, above all, I love this. Love each other deeply. Let there be a deep love for people, because love covers over a multitude of sins. You know, the thing about me, even yesterday with that 86-year-old woman, you know what she wanted? It's just somebody just to, not just do something for her, but somebody just to talk to. And here she is, 86 years of age, and after we were done, she came outside, and I asked her, I said, Rosemary, we'd love to pray with you. I said, is there any, you know, and I said, before we do that, I said, do you have a relationship with the Lord? Because I always want to give an opportunity to make sure if somebody doesn't know Christ, that they can receive Christ right there, amen? And she said, oh, yeah. She said, I've known the Lord for quite some time. I said, well, good. And I said, well, I'd love to pray with you, and is there anything we can pray? And she said, well, yeah, there is. There's some things you can pray for. But I noticed she wanted to talk. I said, well, okay. So she sat right down on her bench right there on her porch, and she said, but I'd like to talk about a few things, you know. I said, well, let's talk. We got a little time. Let's talk here. And, you know, she told us some stories. And then by the time we left, one of her favorite things that she enjoyed doing was just dancing. She said, you know, for an 86-year-old woman, I can still get with it, you know. And I said, yes, ma'am, you go, girl, you know. And can I just tell you, having a love and a compassion for people, I think, listen to me, hurry is coming into the place when I think about loving people, when we get in a hurried-paced life, that's what I'm trying to say, is, man, it really tempers back the impact that we can have, because we're always so worried about time. And I just, you know, I just looked at our team, and I just said, come on, let's just sit and talk to her for a minute. And I just really believe that we need to continue to have a capture of love for God and his people. And even though you're going to have people get on your nerves, how many got some EGRs in your life, extra grace required folk, all right? EGRs, God bless them. But can I tell you, they're in your life for a purpose. I learned this lesson a while ago, man. You better learn how to get with that lesson quick, or they're going to be in your life a little longer sometimes too. And so they're there to kind of teach us patience, but they're also there to teach us how to love. You know, you got to learn how to love difficult people. Oh, absolutely. That's a whole nother message. But listen, we want to see people, man, grow in their relationship with God, to know Him, find freedom, discovering their purpose, and making a difference with their life. I'll never forget one of my favorite stories. It's been a while since I've told it, actually a few years, and I thought, man, what a great day to tell this story. And Pastor Matthew Barnett, who is one of the co-founders, he and his dad, Tommy Barnett. By the way, Pastor Tommy Barnett, if you don't know him, he's going to be with us in the month of March for our 8-year celebration. I know that's many months away, but he's the founder of the Dream Center with his son. He's going to be with us here, and it's going to be incredible. But anyway, so he said one service, Pastor Matthew said, he said, I was preaching, and he said, you know, we always give a salvation call at the end of the message, and he said, the end of that salvation message, he said, there's a young woman that was there that day that got saved and reached out to us, and it was actually after the service that day, Pastor Matthew said, I got off the stage, and she came up to me and said that, you know, she had gotten saved, that she's a former prostitute. And she said, and I know what my call is to do with my life now that I've given my heart to the Lord. And Pastor Matthew said, oh, you do? And she said, yeah. She said, I'm called to go win all the pimps that sold me to Jesus. And he said, excuse me? She said, yeah, Pastor, you heard me. I'm called to go win all those pimps to Jesus. All right? And so he said, okay. He said, well, I'll be praying for you, you know. And so for each and every week, she would go down to the corner where she prostituted herself. True story. And she would go down there every single week, ministering to those pimps that were down there, all right, who were selling her. And so finally, one day, after a few months, the pimps got annoyed with her coming down and sharing the gospel with them. So finally, the pimps said, hey, here's what we're going to do. We want to make a deal because we know regardless, you're going to continue to come on this street corner, whether we like it or not, aren't you? And she said, yep. And so they said, well, we want to make a deal with you. They said, here's the deal. The deal is this. We're going to give you 5 minutes of our undevoted time. We're going to focus on you, but then you got to go because you're ruining our business. All right. And so she said, deal. All right. And so then for every week, for about 6 months, she would go down to that street corner every week, share 5 minutes of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all these pimps, and then she would go on her way and honor her word. Well, then one day the pimps came to her when she was there one day, and they said, ma'am, they said, we can't believe that you've continued to come down here and be consistent about this. We'd like to invite you to one of our functions. And she said, oh, yeah? She said, what's that? They said, we want to invite you to the pimp convention. And she said, the what? He said, yes, the pimp convention. And so she said, I'll be there. And so that night she came home and she said, it was a Saturday night. And she said, I called Pastor Matthew. We were able to get a hold of him. Said, Pastor Matthew, I'm going to the pimp convention. He said, you're not really going, are you? She said, well, of course I'm going. I'm going to win all those pimps to Jesus, you know? And he said, you know, I'm not going with you, but may the Holy Spirit go with you, you know, in Jesus' name. So there she went. It's a red carpet event and everything. She was dressed up and red carpet, you know, and there it was at this big old, she said, it was unbelievable. She said, well, I brought tracks with me. She said, as you're going down the red carpet event, she said, people are throwing money. That's just the way it is. She said, so I brought tracks with me. Those $100 bill tracks that give the gospel message, she said, I was throwing those out. And she said, by the end of the night, she said, all the different pimps and everybody were picking them up, thought they were $100 bills, and they thought, and they read on the other side, it's the gospel salvation message and how to get saved. And so they begin to ask the question, well, who is this? And where did all these tracks come from? And finally, the pimp said, it was that woman that came with that group of pimps tonight. And so finally at the end of the night they were blown away, didn't think she'd stay there, and they said we didn't think you'd actually come tonight, so because you came, we just made an agreement, we'll go to one of your functions. What would you like us to go to? And she said, I'd love you to come to church on Sunday morning with me. And they said, deal, we'll be there. And so another Saturday night she calls Pastor Matthew. She said, Pastor Matthew, you better have a great message ready. The pimps are coming to church on Sunday. Come on. The pimps are coming to church. So he said, okay, all right, you know. And let me just sidebar for a quick second to say this. Consistency breaks down the walls of resistance. Let me tell you something. For 7 years, this church and the people in this church have been serving the community. And the hardest area of our city on the southeast side quadrant is the part where we're seeing a lot of crime. Even when we left yesterday, just 2-3 blocks away, there was a shooting on the way back yesterday. I'm just telling you, we don't listen. When God puts us in a place, it's not fear that grips us, it's faith that grips us. Because we trust and know that light pushes back darkness in Jesus' name. Amen? And I'm telling you as well that one of the other things that happened too is as people are seeing us come out, they know us. They know us, and that's part of the consistency of just showing up. And now relationships have continually been built because they can trust us. But that only happens with consistency. We could get real excited about a serve day, but if we do nothing else outside of that, it's nothing to get excited about. It's what we do afterwards, and it's the cause and the effect of how ministry still works. Not just an event and they're good, but it's how the ministry continues to be played out afterwards. And so the Pimps came to church that Sunday. Pastor Matthew said, they were pretty late, he said, but he said, I got behind the podium, began to preach, and in the balcony, he said, I saw about 7 of them with, you know, the long coats, fur coats on, and the hat and the cane with their swag on, and they were just, you know, kind of coming in slow and all set down. He said, but by the end of the message, I gave a salvation message, and at the end of the day of that service, he said all 7 of those pimps got walked down the balcony, I'll get it, and walked down and all came down to the front to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life. Come on. Somebody say, that's the church. And what I'm saying is you've got to get something that you're passionate about, that you're called about. And here's the deal, is a lot of us, man, we're taking up space, but God hasn't called us to just occupy space. He's called us to make a difference. And it's going to look different for each and every one of us. But when you find your call and you find your mission and you find your passion, I'm just telling you, man, nobody can be able to out-talk you, because when you've heard God's voice, man, you're going to live in that call in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you, as long as you've got breath in your lungs, it's time to make a difference in Jesus' name. Come on, give God a hand. Here's what I know. Found people find people. We can never as a church lose that mission, or we might as well pack up and close down. Found people find people. Once you've been found, you're a witness to take that and share the news. Jesus said we're called to seek and save those who are lost. The great John Wesley said this, do all the good you can in all the ways you can, to all the souls you can in every place you can, at all the times you can, with all the zeal you can, as long as you can. Number 3, have a heart for the church. There's people each and every weekend making decisions for Christ, and seeing people plugged in Growth Track and helping them to understand their gifts and purpose. It's one of the reasons why I love Growth Track. I tell people all the time, it's one of the greatest ways we believe we can help pastor people. Is setting them, helping to set them up for success, especially when you have 87% of Christians in this nation don't know their gifts. So I'm glad that this church is about an assimilation process to help walk people to a place of understanding what their gifts are. Because we have dreamed of a church where people are discovering their gifts and their dreams and going to live it out for the glory of God. Amen. And so you're making a difference, guess what, when you direct a car. You make a difference when you open a door for someone. You're making a difference, guess what, when you're handing out a worship guide to someone. You're making a difference when you shake hands with somebody, give somebody a fist bump. You're making a difference when you tell somebody that you care. You're making a difference when you're praying for people. You're making a difference when you are helping someone to their car. You're making a difference in the area of your giving. I just want you to know, never minimize your call. Never minimize your place that God has that he has you in. 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 3 says, and God said to him, I've listened to and received all your prayers, your ever so passionate prayers, and I've sanctified this temple that you have built. My name is stamped on it forever. My eyes are on it, and my heart in it always. I believe a church that looks like Jesus will always have his attention. And that's why we've got to continually make sure that we stay focused on the ones who are not yet here yet. And continuing to help equip and build us up to reach those that are not yet here. So that they can come into a thriving relationship with God. You know, I see a church whose head is Jesus Christ, whose help is the Holy Spirit, whose heart is the Great Commission, and whose hands and feet are you and me. That's the church that looks like Jesus. Amen. Here's number 4, is you got to have a heart for the world. Got to have a heart for the world. John 3:16 and verse 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his own Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Romans 5 says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die." Man, I love this picture of love. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That means this: there's hope for each and every one of us. There's hope for everyone that we know. God looks beyond what man sees and what man says about you, and he has dreams for you that are bigger than anything that you could ever imagine. And I'm telling you, that's the size of our God. He's a big God. And that's why we've got to dream big and continue to have big vision. And so, Elevate City, I encourage you, let's have a heart for God. Amen. Let's have a heart for people. Let's have a heart for his church. And let's have a heart for the world as well. Every third Saturday we have is our serve day. And that's, and so every third Saturday that's happening is our serve day. And so you can be a part of that. All right, every third Saturday this is happening. And you can just go to the app and sign up, and you'll get an email that'll give you more details of what that looks like, of just once a month, and how that'll impact your life, all right? And then another big date that's coming up too is on August the 3rd. Make sure you get this in your calendar as well. So the third Saturday is every month, but August the 3rd, all right, is our back to school bash, where we, on this day, will hand out hundreds of backpacks and school supplies, all right, to hundreds of our inner city kids. I am telling you, it is one of our favorite things we get to do as a church. You're going to hear some more information in the coming weeks of just, we'll be doing just kind of a drive for school supplies, but as a church, we're already doing it. Because of the margin that we have in our budget, we're going to get all these book bags as well, and we're going to be a blessing. And not only that day, we're going to feed those kids. A lot of us don't realize this, but that part of our city, the average medium income is only about $15,000 a year. And we have a lot of our kids in that area that even sometimes go to bed hungry at night. And I believe there should be no kids that ever go hungry in this city in Jesus' name, so long as we are here. That's why the Dream Center is so important. You know, we're meeting all the time, Dan and all of our board of directors. The Dream Center is continually building. And that's one of the emphases of the Dream Center, is to help feed our kids and help feed the homeless as well. Why? Because we just believe, man, nobody should be going hungry in our city. Amen, everybody. And so we're excited to be a part of the solution. So that's going to be an amazing day. There'll be food, there'll be games, music. It's going to be awesome. And it'll be tied with the love of Jesus as well. And we've got the bus ministry going. We're hoping to pick up more people as we do this as well, as our buses continually get moving. It's incredible. I just want to end the last portion of my message today with this and give you a couple things of why you're important in God's plan. Like, why this is important for you and for me. First off, it's because of who you are. Because of who you are, this is why you're important to God's plan. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "I knew you before you were formed with your mother's womb. Before you were born, I sanctified you and appointed you as my spokesman to the world." So we're not created, we're not God, but we're created in his image and in his likeness. And God values you, and he's called us to value and love people. Someone once said to me some time ago, when I was talking to them about the Lord and inviting them to church, they said, "Man, I'd love to come check out your church, but I'm not a believer." And I said, "Man, perfect. You're going to love our church. You're actually going to." And they said, "Well, actually, I'm borderline atheist." I said, "Great. You're going to love the people." And I'm just so thankful for a church that loves and accepts people no matter where they're at, no matter their background, no matter what they're wearing. And man, we just love people as they come. Amen. And just continue to reach them in Jesus' name. Elevate City, I've always said this, is a place to belong before you believe. For some people, they're on a journey with God. They're trying to figure this out. And it's okay. I said this on Easter very clearly to every person, to the near 900 people that were here that day, that, listen, if you're on a journey just asking questions, trying to figure out, it's okay. We want you here, and we're glad you're here. And we're going to make it. We just made a decision, man, in our walk with God in this church. We're going to make it hard for people to go to hell in our city. Come on, somebody said a better amen. Here's the other reason why you're important to God: because of what you cost. because of who you are and because of what you cost. 1 John 4 says, God is love, and this was the love of God displayed where we are concerned, in that he sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Guess what? Jesus was thinking about you and me when he was on that cross. He was thinking about the billions of people, past, present, and future, when he made that decision for us. Aren't you thankful for that sacrifice? Amen today. We were bought with the price. And here's the last reason why you're important to God, and that is because of what you can become. Because of what you can become. Matthew 4:19, then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I love something William Wallace said. He said, every man dies, but not every man really lives. Brian Houston made a statement years ago at a conference I was at. It's never left me. He said, don't be afraid of dying. He said, be afraid of the unlived life. Always stuck with me. Man, I never want to miss out on what God is wanting to do. You've got to find out what breaks your heart. You got to find out what your passion is. You got to find out what your purpose is. You got to find out what the call of God is for your life and go live it for his plan and make a difference in the surroundings, whether it's your coworkers, neighbors, family, friends. God has called you and I to make a difference. For some of us, maybe you need to figure that out, and you need to go to Growth Track today. You need to go through our noon, it's during our noon service, our Growth Track. But can I tell you something that's practical? Can I tell you something that's spiritual? Can I tell you something that's strategic today? Can I tell you something that brings application in any form in your life? Here it is. Stay in love with Jesus. It is the most practical, spiritual, strategic, applicable thing you could ever do for your life. Stay in love with Jesus. It's why we want our kids to grow. It's why, and the understanding of who their God is, and our kids' ministry that's happening right now, to our student ministry that is just off to an amazing start this summer. They're gonna head to Alabama next month for their Motion Student Conference. It's gonna be unbelievable. But there's something happening right now in our student ministry, in our kids' ministry, and we've been talking about it as a staff through the last few weeks in the office. We can feel it, we can sense it, momentum, and there's more students and more of our kids that are coming in. We just know God's got a plan for their life, amen? And it's important to us as pastors and leaders in this church of who and what they're becoming. We believe it's one of the most important ministries in this church of reaching our kids and reaching the generations. Kids need to be celebrated. Kids need to be valued. Kids need to be reached. They need to be taught, and they need to be shown. Amen, everybody? And here's what I want you to write down, and I put this at the bottom of your notes. Listen to me. A generation that the world cannot change will be the generation that will change the world. I'm going to say it again. A generation that the world cannot change. This is why ministry for our kids and students are so important today, will be the generation that can change the world. And we believe that with everything within us. Imagine us as families doing ministry and life together, placing God as first in everything else. Every decision we make is around the first priority of our life, and that's God. Imagine the difference we can make in the lives that we can touch. Mother Teresa probably said it best when she said this, I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create many ripples. You and I can make a difference. And for many of us, it's time to rise up. Come on, let's can the excuses. Man, let's can the excuses. And man, let's dive into what God has for our life, and let's go make a difference. Come on, would you stand on your feet with me this morning? And would you just bow your head with me right where you're at today, all over this place. God, we love you so very much. And we're thankful for the call, and we're thankful for the cause. The cause of Christ that awakens us every day, that breathes life in us every day to live out a life of purpose. I pray for the person today that may not know their gifts or their purpose, that you would give them the courage and the confidence to take next steps. God, maybe it's in Growth Track today. Maybe it's in a small group this week. But God, that I pray that you're, God, that as a church and as a people, that we would rise into our calling. And God, that we wouldn't sit on the gifts that you placed within us, but we would use them, God, for your glory, and that we would use them to make a difference in the lives of people. In the name of Jesus. I'm gonna pray for two things today. I'm going to give an invitation. If you don't know the Lord today and you don't have a relationship with him, I want to pray for you today and with you. If you're here and you don't know God as your Lord and personal Savior, I want to give you an opportunity right here today to know him. I'm telling you, God sent his only son to die for you and me. Not because he had to, but because he wanted to. You and I were on his mind, and he loves you so much. And with every head bowed and all eyes closed, I want you to forget about who's around you. This is a moment between you and God. And if you say, man, pastor, that's me, I know that I need to place Jesus first in my life. He's not, and I know I need to. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand on the count of three. Come on, one, two, three, real high, over this place. Say, man, that's me, that's me. Yeah, yeah, got you. Praise God. Awesome. All right, you can put your hands down. I want to pray also for the person today that would be so bold and raise your hand and say, you know what, pastor, I realize, man, I need to start moving in my call. That I've kind of set on things for a while, but I realize God's putting some things in me, and it's time to utilize those gifts for the glory of God. Or maybe you're even the person that says, man, I need to figure those things out. If that's you, would you slip up your hand right there where you're at and say, man, I want to be used by God. I'm ready. I realize that. Yeah, hands all over. Awesome. All right, you can put your hands down. For those that are giving their lives to God for the first time, let's pray together. And then I'm going to pray for those that are serious about stepping in their calling. Come on, all over this place, church, let's pray with those who are receiving salvation and just say, Jesus, we love you. I give you my heart today. Forgive me of my sins. Today I make you my Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Now I want to pray for all those who are responding to this message today that God is saying. God, I pray for each and every person as we respond, God, to the quickening and the stirring of just your spirit, God. God, the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the resources, God, Lord, whatever it may be that you have given each and every one of us, I pray that today we take a courageous, bold step of faith and say, God, we want to be used by you. And that we're not just going to talk about it on a Sunday, but we're going to move forward in it in Jesus' name today. We're going to make a decision, a selfless one, to say, God, I want to be used by you. And so, Lord, I pray you give them courage, give them clarity, give them understanding. But, God, drive a passion in their heart. Drive a cause deep within their heart for the glory of God. And we give you praise and we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen.